Good morning.
Good morning. I would like to reserve 2 minutes, please. May it please the court, opposing counsel. I'm William Madeling, representing the appellant, Guy Eagle Elk. Mr. Eagle Elk is appealing his conviction and his sentence in a matter involving aiding and abetting a first-degree assault upon a juvenile detention corrections officer, which also unfortunately resulted in her death. Our first assignment of error deals with the trial court admitting into evidence and allowing a jury to see the actual video of the attack by Dylan Kardelec upon the alleged victim, Amanda Baker. We believe that under 27-404-2, the third prong of that, that deals with evidence needing to have more probative value than unfair prejudicial effect. Basically, that was an abuse of discretion on the part of the court to allow this video in. At the time this video was allowed in, we'd had all kinds of evidence presented to the jury already about the nature of the assault, who did what, the fact that it was a serious assault, and as a matter of fact, 2 days later resulted in Ms. Baker's death. We'd had the actual person who attacked Ms. Baker come in and testify about what he did and how he did it. There was his two letters. There was the...
Wasn't that video, though? Wasn't the charge here that he instructed the perpetrator how to apply a chokehold, and that they had a plan, they were going to put a chokehold on the guard? Doesn't that video corroborate all of that?
It does. It's an additional piece of evidence which was unnecessary at that point in the trial and created unfair prejudice because of the graphic nature of the video. This is a video that lasted 2 minutes and change. I had to view it many times. It's very disturbing, where we see Mr. Kardelec lure the guard into a cell, get behind her.
Having a picture, say a security camera, in a robbery, took a picture of the robbery.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't...
You know, if you had a case where you had a robbery and you had a security camera, took a picture of the robbery, wouldn't that be the same thing? This is a video camera in a cell, which caught the whole act.
This is not an issue regarding the identity of the attacker. This is not an issue, even for that matter, regarding the method of the attack. If all that was agreed to, we even agreed to stipulate that what Mr. Kardelec did would constitute a first-degree assault. All the elements the state needed to prove had already been proven. The video itself is simply icing on a very disturbing cake and created unfair prejudice, I would argue, with this particular jury.
Didn't, if I understand the evidence, there was evidence that Mr. Eagle Elk instructed the perpetrator how to do the chokehold, and they had a plan for doing that, getting the keys and escaping. But at trial, the perpetrator denied that Mr. Eagle Elk was part of the plan, denied that he instructed him how to do the chokehold. So wasn't that video relevant evidence to corroborate at least the state's evidence as to Mr. Eagle Elk's involvement?
No, it definitely was not. If you go over the testimony from Mr. Kardelec, he goes back and forth exactly what was said and what was done. He does talk about researching how to get out, researching how to choke someone into unconsciousness. He did talk to Mr. Eagle Elk about that, but he also talked to other people, including a staff member by the name of Bobby, who apparently provided directions regarding this. Exactly why a correction officer would do so is beyond me, but apparently Mr. Kardelec went to a great deal of trouble to research from various sources how to do this. In regard to the plan, Mr. Kardelec clarifies that the plan was basically his plan. It did not include other people, although he did approach just about everybody he had contact with at the Juvenile Detention Center, seeing if anyone would be interested in escaping with him. That included Mr. Eagle Elk, but that also included Mr. Krause, Mr. Aguilar, any number of people who at various times discussed this with him. And going back to the testimony, escape, keeping in mind that we're dealing with a bunch of adolescent boys, this was a constant topic within the detention center. That was the topic of conversation.
The testimony was it not, Krauss and those other people that were in on the regiment, was that Ecolet showed him how to apply the chokehold, which is the chokehold that he actually used, as shown by the video, to choke out the guard, right?
Mr. Ecolet was one of a number of people, apparently, who showed Mr. Kardelik how to do that and talked about the merits of how long to hang on and that type of thing. That was,
and therefore, it's the prosecutor time to use that video.
It certainly corroborates the evidence, but that's not the sole test. The evidence had already been previously presented, had been corroborated numerous times. The video was unnecessary. And because of the nature of the video, not to mention the jury coming from a small county, would have had undue and unfair impact in weighing the other circumstances concerning the charge of aiding and abetting. For instance, whether Mr. Eagle Elk really intended to escape or to help Mr. Kardelik escape. Again, testimony that was presented at time of trial was not only was this a constant topic of conversation, but took on almost a fantasy aspect where people would be in the plan and out of the plan, and everyone agrees. They didn't think that Dylan Kardelik was going to do that. They thought he was basically a little punk who wouldn't stop talking about it. It became a game to bait him over this.
There also evidence though, that your client egged him on and kind of baited him, called him names, derogatory names, and said, you don't have the guts to do this or something to that effect?
Mr. Eagle Elk, among others, did that, yes, because no one believed that this 15-year-old was going to do that. Please keep in mind, Mr. Eagle Elk was 16 at the time. Mr. Kardelik was 15. I think the oldest boy in the cell who discussed this was 17 at the time. These are children talking about essentially what they thought was a fantasy topic. No one knew what they were really dealing with regarding Mr. Kardelik. He's a different kind of cat, a scary kind of cat, but no one at the detention center seemed to realize what they were actually dealing with, despite the fact that he was in there for a robbery.
Does it make a difference in connection with your argument that this videotape is prejudicial, that it doesn't show Mr. Eagle Elk at all? It's Mr. Kardelik.
That is correct.
Doing the choking. So does that lessen the argument that it's prejudicial to Mr. Eagle Elk?
No, actually, it increases it. This is a graphic video of Ms. Baker being attacked, and the jury was well aware she died a short time later. Mr. Eagle Elk was not charged with her death. He was not charged with manslaughter or murder or anything like that. But the jury was aware that Amanda died. That is an incredible negative prism to view all this evidence through. And the video, because of its graphic nature, because of the small community where everyone is tied together, I knew Amanda. Her mother worked for the district court in Scottsbluff. It's a small community, and such evidence has a disproportionate, disparate impact upon a jury viewing this material. I'll submit the rest of my assignments of error based on my brief, if that would be okay with the court.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning again.
Hello. May it please the court, my name is Melissa Vincent. I'm an assistant attorney general, and I represent the Appalachian state of Nebraska. Eagle Elk has alleged three assignments of error. The first is addressed to the admissibility of the assault or the video depicting the assault on Amanda Baker. Eagle Elk claims that the district court erred in admitting that video because its probative value is substantially outweighed by the risk of unfair prejudice. We disagree. It is well established the state is allowed to present a coherent picture of the crimes charged and may generally choose its evidence in doing so. Here, the video is part of a series of videos that were offered to show the circumstances surrounding the offense. Had it been omitted, it would have left an inexplicable gap in the state's evidence. But more importantly, it was both probative and necessary because, one, it established an essential element of the offense, namely that Kardelik committed a first-degree assault. And second, it showed that Kardelik executed the assault in the manner in which he and Eagle Elk had discussed. Indeed, the video was actually quite corroborative of Eagle Elk's admissions. And for those reasons, we believe the district court did not err in admitting the video into evidence. As for Eagle Elk's second and third assignments of error regarding the sufficiency of the evidence and the propriety of his sentence, we submit those are without merit for the reasons that we have stated in our brief. And I don't intend to discuss those any further unless, of course, the court has questions.
Once the appellant agreed to stipulate at trial that it was a first-degree assault, why was the video necessary after that?
Well, the state, because as the prosecutor explained, part of this, the workup, and if you've watched all of the videos, because there's a whole series of them, I think there might be a total of 10. And what they show you are different angles. They show the correctional officer going in to do the bed checks, and then they show video from Cardiac's cell. And during this whole workup, you see him communicating. You can see him going to his cell door. You can see him talking to somebody. A couple of times, you can actually see him, like, putting his hands toward his neck in a choking motion. Of course, that corroborates Eagle-L's admissions that, yes, he was, in fact, trying to show him, demonstrate, explain it to him, and actually demonstrate it to him, and he expressed some concern to his roommate, Tyler Aguilar, that was going to be captured on video and that he would get in trouble for it. But, I think the general rule is that you can't stipulate away probative evidence just because it's not favorable to you. The fact that it's unpleasant or difficult to watch.
Why not show the video up to the point then of the actual attack?
Well, because it shows the whole assault. It's part of the substantive offense. This is the very assault that he was accused of aiding and abetting.
And he was willing to stipulate to that at trial.
Right.
Trial.
But my position is the state's not obligated to stipulate to that. And again, it's part of the substantive offense. I don't think that you can keep it out just because it's difficult to watch. And frankly, if you have all of these people that are coming in and testifying that he choked her and that she strangled and you have Eagle-L admitting it, I fail to see any unfair prejudice here. What's the theory? Is that the video pushed him over the edge because all of the other testimony wasn't enough? I just fail to see any kind of unfair prejudice in this case. If there are no further questions, we would ask that you affirm the judgment of the district court.
The state argues that showing that portion of the video from Mr. Cardiac's cell that showed him attacking and essentially killing Ms. Baker was necessary to fill in a gap. But at the same time, they talk about all the other evidence that was presented. The gap was well filled in. The video was not necessary. And because it was not necessary, and for that matter, we were willing to stipulate. Mr. Cardiac's testimony, he says that Mr. Eagle-L was not part of his plan. But on further questioning, he talks about, well, yes, we did talk about escape. We did talk about choking someone else.
What was the methodology of the chokehold?
It was described. Why does it such a vivid a video need to be shown when everyone agrees? This is what was advised, and this was...
That Eagle-L aided and abetted Cardiac. The testimony is Eagle-L showed Cardiac how to do a chokehold. The video shows Cardiac applying the chokehold and killing Baker. Doesn't that corroborate this whole thing that your client showed Cardiac how to apply the chokehold?
It corroborates that occurred, but it's an unnecessary corroboration because it had been corroborated so many other ways. Because of the video, the graphic nature, that has an emotional impact on people as opposed to a simple description of what was going on.
Can you point us to a case or cases that you think would be instructive to us, giving us a reason to find that this video was too gruesome and that its prejudicial impact outweighed its probative value?
I cannot offer a specific case. These cases seem to be cited on case-by-case basis, the unique facts of each case. I would argue that this particular case is especially graphic, and because of the other evidence and the offered stipulation, completely unnecessary and was inevitably going to unfairly prejudice the jury against my client.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. You are excused, and your case is submitted. That brings us to the conclusion of our argument session, but we will move forward, and we invite you to remain and give us an opportunity to talk with you and answer any questions you may have.
Should we just take those chairs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we
Thank you.